Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
And then that story is preserved and then played on the radio so that people who are driving can cry.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of the storyline.
We've talked a lot. I think one could even argue a dominant theme of this show over the years has been that brains are prediction engines, that we're trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future. And part of the way we do that is not just to be sensitive to the statistics of what goes on in our world, but also to really try to understand why things happen the way they do and which factors are important in those interactions. And so one of the things that we're doing in generating explanations for how the world works is creating stories. And those stories embed within them both the explanation, but also a set of beliefs about what is and isn't important.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole idea of storytelling and stories and memory, and we've talked about this from time to time on previous shows, about how much weaving a story creates a more persistent memory because things are connected to other things and causes lead to effects. And even when there isn't a good story, we're pretty good at making one up that weaves together different elements into a coherent story, or at least it seems coherent to us. And that makes it more memorable. But the thing that's interesting about that is the possibility of weaving together stories that are reasonable enough that now they become a part of memory, when in fact, the what follows what in those stories and the causes and their reputed effects in those stories aren't really what really happened. But it makes sense. You know, it's plausible. It's not accurate, but it's plausible. And that weaving together of a narrative is a tremendous component that leads to our retaining memories and being able to recall them in the future.
And one of the most fascinating projects to me is to think a little bit about, for example, you know, NPR has its StoryCorps project, in which people are invited to come and tell stories. And one of the things I find fascinating about that is that the stories that we preserve, generally speaking, are stories that are determined by someone to have some importance more broadly. You know, people may write down diaries of their own life story, but those diaries then, you know, get packed away in crates and they disappear. And so the stories that become part of our cultural legacy, the ones that are published, the ones that are handed down, those are of people where there was some decision that was made that those individuals have some particular importance. And so what's fascinating to me are projects like StoryCorps, in which there's no sense up front that the people who are participating are selected in a particular way because of their importance. They are individuals who have a story that they'd like to tell, and they come in and tell that story.
Yep.
And then that story is preserved and then played on the radio so that people who are driving can cry. But I do think that you know, one of the things that one of the reasons I raise this is because it then becomes complicated when we look back on the past and try to understand all of the people of a particular time, that the record from those past time periods is selective. There is more information available about the individuals deemed to be heroes in that era.
In any kinds of human interaction, there are multiple perspectives at work at one time. I mean, even when we have what we consider to be shared experiences, they're not identical experiences because all of us bring our own history to each experience that we have. And that history colors how we perceive the experience that we're having in the moment. And it also colors how we remember the experience in the future. And the reason this is such an interesting thing to think about is that at one point, when we think back to the past and we recall things that have happened in the past, we're recalling them from one perspective, which is our own, of course. I mean, that makes sense. But it may be that other people who were in the same room with us or in the same event or whatever the experience happened to be may remember the situation very differently, not only because they experienced it differently, but also because of the experiences they had subsequent to the event. And it's just a big deal when it comes to recording history and what gets written down and what gets communicated in terms of what's transpired in the past. Because people who are writing the history are writing from a particular perspective, and that might not be the perspective even of the people that they're writing about.
And of course, because of the nature of the way stories are told, they embed within them values that themselves are also not always completely recognized, because the stories have heroes in them. They have protagonists and antagonists. They have obstacles. And whether we define someone as the hero of the story or the villain or just an extra, whether we define something as an obstacle or as something that helped someone to achieve a goal, all of that embeds within it a set of assumptions about what a particular culture at a particular time values.
Yeah.
And so those stories don't only explain why things happen the way they do, but they create a set of categories for people about what things matter, what outcomes matter, and what people matter.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of well-being with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroe. I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.